about the whole Rama Garmi discussion. Last week we ended off, or before Yantif rather, more than last week, but before Yantif we ended off on a pretty fascinating discussion which came out of our Gemara, where the Gemara tells us that if somebody breaks the wall of another person, they are chayiv b'dinei shamayim v'lo b'dinei adam. And the Gemara concludes that in order to come to that position, it has to be a shvach wall, because if it was a shtark wall, you'd be chayiv b'dinei adam as well. So we saw it was a big machlokas rishonim what those two positions are talking about. And we saw that some rishonim said we're talking about the wall, which is easy in some ways. It means that if it was a shtark wall, you're clearly chayiv b'dinei adam for breaking that wall. And maybe the bigger is that you're chayiv b'dinei shamayim, even if it was a wall that was going to go down anyway. And it seemed, according to those rishonim, you're chayiv b'dinei shamayim both for the animal that escapes and for the damage that the animal does. And the distinction, the operative issue was whether we have a direct hezek or a grama or even less than that. Because a direct hezek, you should be chayiv fully. If it's nothing, then you shouldn't be chayiv at all. And in the middle is where you have the dinei shamayim, and that's the category of grama. So the assumption is that what is called dinei shamayim is essentially grama. The second view in the Rishonim was that we're talking about for the animal itself, and that there—that's where you have the chiyuv. And the third opinion, where we left off, was the opinion of the Rambam. The Rambam's position is that you are chayiv certainly b'dinei adam for the wall itself, maybe even b'dinei shamayim, maybe even b'dinei adam, even for a shvach wall. We talked about that a little bit. You're a chayiv for the lost animal from a kal v'chomer, from the fact that the Rambam's stated position was that you're also chayiv for the damage the animal does. So that was a surprising position, because that certainly seems to be a grama. So the fact that the Rambam says you're chayiv in grama, or that that's what he's saying, at least in this context, is noteworthy. So we noted that it's possible that maybe the Rambam holds simply that you are a chayiv for grama, that is a machlokas, and the Rambam could be of such a position. Or it could be that it's a little more nuanced, and that maybe there's only certain kinds of grama for which the Rambam holds you liable, as we'll see more clearly in a few minutes. And if that's the case, so then the question might be a semantic one as far as the issue of garmi, because we know that we also distinguish between grama and garmi. Garmi vaguely meaning some kind of more direct, albeit still indirect, type of hezek, or more connected, albeit less connected at the same time, kind of hezek. And even when you're pater from grama, you are still potentially chayiv for garmi. So it could be that maybe the Rambam is simply putting the two together, and that the situations where he's chayiv in grama-like situations are consistent with what he would understand to be the rules of garmi. So in terms of the position on garmi, so the Shulchan Aruch paskins that we are doin dini de garmi, that we do adjudicate this rule of garmi, and we hold people responsible when something falls into garmi categories. Now, what exactly constitutes garmi? So we spent some time talking about that at earlier stages. But as far as the rule that regulates garmi, so Shulchan Aruch says that we paskin that we do adjudicate dinei de garmi, we do hold the garmi causer to be liable. However, there's still a major question, as the Shach discusses, you got a chance to see, is that a liability on a level d'oraisa or a level d'rabbana? And the Shach brings both positions on this, and the assumption that it might be a din d'rabbanan is a little bit more fitting if one assumes that there are certain exceptions that don't necessarily fit the normal rule of Hezek. And that's something we'll discuss in the next few minutes also. That if Hezek is more absolute, Mazik is more absolute than Garmi, so then it sounds like Garmi is coming from somewhere else or a different level. And maybe that would be essentially to call it a Drabanan. Now, one thing I think we have to keep in mind is how do we perceive that in terms of how we talk about dinim drabanan. Do we mean that it's something that essentially has the same properties as the din daraisa, but is technically exempt, so therefore we extend, as a matter of practical law, we extend the same rules on a level drabanan, and therefore should we look for a din daraisa that it matches closely? Or should we say, no, it's not really that it fits any particular din daraisa. It's that there is a social issue here, that Garmi poses a certain risk to society to allow Garmi to go unregulated and unpunished. And therefore, as a tikkun for society, so Chazal are going to tell us that there have to be kones, a Garmi, that we have to impose a penalty. That it's not going to be good for society to let people do these things with impunity. So therefore, we make a policy of a knas. So that gives us essentially a few questions to ask. Is Garmi a daraisa or a darabanan? And if it's a darabanan, what kind of darabanan is it? Is it a knas, or is it essentially an extending of the parameters of an existing din daraisa? So one question is, does Garmi include situations that are unintentional? So here, many point out that the Rambam's position seems to be, if you take all of his different statements together, that Garmi is only chayev b'niskavin lahazik. That if the person is intending to cause damage, so then there's a potential for liability with Garmi. So that's an interesting distinction. The Ramban, in his Dina de Garmi, the Ramban disagrees. And the Ramban writes that Garmi is subject to the general rule of Adam Chayiv, Adam Mu'ad Olam, Bain Mezid Bein Shogeg Bein Unus Bein Ratzon. So that's true when it comes to Garmi also. So this raises some of the questions. What is the Rambam's attitude here? So if the Rambam is already distinguishing between intentional and not intentional, so for example, he talks about a ptur for somebody who issues an incorrect psak, or a professional who makes a mistake and causes a loss. So the Rambam says that there he's going to be pater because he didn't intend to cause any kind of a loss. So there, it's one of the places that this klal comes out. So if the Rambam says that Rama ben Zikin is chayiv, so apparently that's limited, that it's only chayiv when it's niskavi mahalik. So again, one way to formulate this is that maybe that's his definition of Garmi versus Grama. That maybe Grama in general actually is Pater, even according to the Rambam. But Garmi is when you are trying to do it. Which could work well for a Knas kind of idea, that we could let people off the hook for unintentional damages and indirect damages, but if we let people intentionally cause damage indirectly, so that's bad for society. So maybe we have to consummate that. So that could be the view of the Rambam. So far, so good. Now, what's the Rambam's position about Adam Hamazik Pa'onis Gomer? So if you recall, we discussed this previous man. We saw that this was a very major machlokas in general with huge implications in terms of the general rule of Hezek, and this was the machlokas Rishonim. Right, so we talk about normally the default is Admur Olam Ben Onas Ben Ratzon and Shogi Ben Hezid. So it sounds like a person is chayiv for the damage that he inflicts, even if he not even isn't negligent, but if it was something completely against his will. So we saw that as Machlokas Rishonim, whether that really means completely against his will. That Tosus, recall that Tosus on the Fazayin said, not completely, that Onas Gomer, you are indeed Pater from. And the Ramban disagreed. The Ramban said that no, you're a chayiv for everything, no matter what. It's just the situations where we find the p'tur, it's because there's someone else to blame. Or maybe the Nizak specifically is a part of the picture. But other than that, no level of onus gets you off the hook. So where does the Rambam land on this? So it's an interesting question. The Rambam, if you saw it, Hilchos Kavod Mazik, when the Rambam talks about the chiyuv of Hezek, and he writes, Bein Onus, Bein Ratzon. So the Magen Mishnah comments that he doesn't seem to distinguish between Onus Gomer and Onus less than Gomer. So it sounds like the Rambam is more like the Ramban on this, that the Chiyuv is across the board, even for Onus Gomer. So that becomes an important point of comparison, because apparently for Hezek B'Yadayim, he's saying that Yechayev in all situations. But if it's a Gramma or Garmi, so then you would be Chayev only when that was your intent. So that distinction becomes more blatant when consider that position. So far, so good? Everything makes sense? So it's also interesting to note, if you had a chance to see the Gemara in Sinai,
does it make a difference? What type of miskaven is he talking about? It's just miskaven to do the hezek, to cause the loss?
Yeah, presumably. That's
not,
what if you
not
have,
in the action itself?
I think you'd have to say that's what he means. Yeah, that it sounds like that from the various examples, that whatever you're doing, but you don't necessarily have malicious intent behind it. If you have malicious intent, so then that's going to be subject to this rule. But that seems to disassociate it from general hezek. And perhaps all the more so if you feel that general hezek, you're chayiv all the time. You saw the Gemara about Mitzamsim, the Gemara in Sanhedrin?
Yeah.
Right, so there, the Gemara talks about if somebody confines somebody's property to a dangerous area where there's a fire or a flood or something like that, the Gemara talks about liability for that. We find liability there for Ritzicha under those circumstances, and also for Hezek in those circumstances. And the Gemara says Hezek's a Kal V'Chomer, because if we have such broad liability for Hezek, so then all the more so. So the Din of Mitzamtzen, a lot of the Rishonim say that is an example of Gemara. And that's why some of the Rishonim don't actually bring that Gemara, because they say once we already say that we are done Dinit Garmi, and that this is a Garmi-like situation, so it's already included, they don't need to specifically teach this Din. But the Rambam might... Have a question about that?
Oh, sorry.
But the Rambam might be different on this, because the Rambam brings down this Din, and then only later introduces the concept of grama. So there are those who understand, and Rav Zsolti has an essay about this. We're actually probably going to mention Rav Zsolti tomorrow. I don't think we've mentioned him all year so far. The Sefer Mishnas Yavetz. Mishnas Yavetz, when I was your age, it was a very popular Sefer, and it was very sought after. Now, thanks to the miracle of HebrewBooks.org, you can get it for free online, but once upon a time it was very scarce and very sought after. So Rav Zsolti was the chief rabbi of Yerushalayim until he passed away, I believe, sometime in the 1980s. Rav Yaakov Petzalel Zsolti. So Yaakov Petzalel is Yavetz, based Tzadi. So Rav Zsolti has has a couple of svarim besides this, but the svarim that were sold as a set has a volume on Aruch Chaim, which is very popular. And then he has a smaller volume on Choshen Mishpat and one on Yeridei. So in the smaller volume on Choshen Mishpat, the last piece, he has some comments about this whole sugya. He also happens to have a little bit about Shomer Aveda, so we're going to mention him tomorrow. So remember that name for a day. But Rav Schulte has a discussion about this issue. And he notes there that the Rambam seems to differentiate between the din of Mitzamsein and the din of Grama. So he explains that the Rambam understands that Gemara differently, that the point of that Gemara about Mitzamsein is that it's a chiddush, that Mitzamsein is considered to be doing something directly. That's not a Grama even. That's considered to be doing something via that. Is there any comments?
I don't understand that because wouldn't make sense with Rambam because the idea where you're putter if you can escape, mm-hmm. if you can't escape because according to the Rambam it wouldn't matter because it's all about kavana, not whether I can escape. But the Rambam
is that true though? So if it's all about kavana, so then what? So
if you have intention to damage him but he can escape and he dies anyway, you'd sort of have.
Is that necessarily true? I'm not sure if one has to lead to the other, because the fact that he requires kavana doesn't necessarily mean that kavana is the only possible condition. Because if I have kavana to hurt somebody and I'm totally unsuccessful, so I'm not going to be, I don't cause any damage, so I'm not going to be chai of anything.
But isn't the Rambam talking in a case where there is damage done?
But the point is just that it can't be the only condition. So it's not going to go in both directions. And even if you say you need kavana to be chayiv, it doesn't necessarily mean that kavana is the only factor.
In the case of the Gemara, he still dies.
Right. Okay. Point well taken. So, but the point also is relevant more broadly, that it sounds like it's going to make a nafkamina, whether it's a din of Garmi here, or whether it is a extension of Biyadayim. Because the question of Kavana is going to play a role. So the Rambam's position about Kavana is going to have an afghamir. So another question to consider, and that is, do we have other limitations on Garmi versus normal Hezek situations? So for example, is Garmi limited to Hezek that's done by a person? Or does it extend even to damage done by your behemoth, for example? So what did you see on this? You saw that the Rama takes it as a given that Garmi only applies to damage done by a person. And he says that the Likuli Alma by a behemoth is pater. Although it's not really Likuli Alma because the Ramban assumes differently. The Ramban assumes that there is a chiyuv dina de garmi by behemah as well. So that's an interesting question to keep in mind. It's also a machlokas rishonim, but it's a little bit of a roundabout. You have to see how it's included in the word different rishonim. So I didn't put it on the Makaros because I was afraid it would take too long. How far did you guys get today, by the way, in the Makaros? Sorry?
Maybe
towards the
Sanhedrin.
Okay, see, I wanted to keep it somewhat limited because by tomorrow I want to move on to other things. But so there is a Tzos, and there are others who point out that there is also a question whether a Hezek Agidei Garmi, are you Chayiv just for the Hezek? Or are you chayiv for the dalad dvarim? The dalad dvarim being the other four things that somebody who is chovo is normally liable for. So a little bit of a preview for a gym discussion. So does garmi limit itself only to chayiv for the hezek, or does it include the other four things as well? So here also you have what seems to be a machlokas rishonim about this point. So if we try to consider all these things together without taking an absolute stand and how it plays out, it seems like the question is, what exactly is the structure of the chiyuv of Nezikin? So this is a very cholistic question going back to day one. And once we establish that, where exactly does Garmi fit in? So when we talk about Adam HaMazik and the idea that he's chayiv across the board, which, as we've also noted throughout, always seemed a little surprising, because for every other aveira in the Torah, a person is subject to varying degrees of liability. Mazid, Shogeg, Onus, these are all going to be different. So why is it when it comes to Hezek, it's a different rule? So Adam HaMazik is connected to two different dinim, right, to two different psukim in the Torah. One, we almost reached the Parsha Shavua, I guess will be the Parsha Shavua for our final week, for Parshas Emor. But the pasuk of Makeh Behema Yishalmena is the source, on the one hand, for Adam HaMazik. And again, to go back to day one, we talked about how there were various conditions that were all implicit in that pasuk, and they may all be relevant to understanding when there's a full chiyuv nezikin. And then there's a pasuk in Mishpatim which is relevant to all of the avos nezikin, v'lo yishmerenu b'aylov, a person who has something that is dangerous and he doesn't protect it. So we have here two different machayvim for nezek, and maybe sometimes they're both operative, maybe sometimes one is, maybe sometimes the other one is. But you have Adam HaMazik, which refers to actions the person is doing. And you also have Adam as one of the Avos Nezikin. And we have the phrase in the Gemara that Adam Shmiras Gufo Olav. So that phrase seems to tell us that it's not just about what you choose to do, but it's also about the things that you let your body cause. That just like you have to be responsible to watch your ox, and you have to be responsible to watch the fire that you start, so too you have to be cognizant of the fact that your body can also inflict harm. So the idea that Adam HaMazik is chayiv ba'ones, which does that connect to? So it could possibly be either. Either you want to say that Adam HaMazik, in the sense of Makeh Behema Yishalmena, is Gzeres HaKasuv, that Adam HaMazik is Chayiv across the board. And maybe that's how you could even come to the Mechudish or surprising position that even Onus Gomer, it's just a liability that goes no matter what. Or it could be connected to the idea that Adam is chayiv to guard his body just like he's chayiv to guard his property. So there, you could say a person is chayiv regardless of intent, because it's not really about intent. If your ox or your flame does damage, it's not necessarily because you intended it to. It's because it was inherently dangerous and you didn't guard it. So from that perspective, what you have there is two halves of an equation. Now you have on the one hand the ability to be mechayev somebody regardless of intent. But on the other hand, it's not endless. It's not limitless. Because there is a way to get out of the liability of the Avos Nezikin. And what's that? That's the topic of the beginning of our parak. Right? What's the ability to get out of that liability? Through Shmira. So if a person does adequate Shmira, so then even if Hezek does happen, because you fulfilled your chiyuv of Shmira, so then you're off the hook. So theoretically, if that was the model for Adam Hamazik Ba'onis, so then that could be consistent with the view of Tosfos, that there are limits, especially the way Tosfos phrase it, that Yechayev in Onis Ke'en Aveda, but not Onis Ke'en Gneva. And that it's talking about different standards in Shmira. That if you do Shmira, that's adequate for the predictable things. Like Ke'en Aveda, so then you're off the hook. But if it's beyond that, or if it's less than that, rather, if you allow even an onus kain aveda to happen, so that's where you're chayv. Follow the distinction? So that question could be relevant bechlal to understanding the whole concept of adam hamazik bonus. And then the next question to ask is, so what does garmi fit into? And perhaps some of these issues are going to be connected to that question. Is Garmi essentially an expansion of Adam HaMazik Biyadayim? And are we saying that, like we said in the first week also, that one of the conditions of that tziur of Maka Adam Mishalmena, Maka Behem Mishalmena, is that it was being done Biyadayim? So, therefore, Grama is Pater, Grama is not Biyadayim. But Garmi is closer to Yadayim, so therefore we extend Yadayim to include that? Or should we say that no, that Garmi is really not connected to that, it's connected to Lo Yishmeranu Bailev. That basically there's a certain amount of negligence in not being Shomer your animal. And here, Garmi also involves negligence. And therefore, we have to factor that in also. It's interesting just to kind of think speculatively. Yeah?
Aren't those both extensions of the Doraisa?
Yeah, the question is which Doraisa?
So this is that approach of extending the Doraisa, right. not only societal.
Correct. If we want to say that it's connected to something, so, is it following one model or the other? Is it associated with one model or the other? And I don't know if it can prove conclusively, but I think it's just worth speculating. It's also interesting, if you want to say that, let's say we connect it to Adam HaMazik Biyadayim, so maybe what the Svara is once you get to Garmi, so you're saying that Grama is different from the Pasuk because it's not Biyadayim. But, Lemaisa, if you're bringing about something intentionally, that could replace it being Biyadayim. Not fully, it still won't necessarily be a Chiyuv Daraisa, maybe. But at least, in effect, it is another route to connect you to something. You're connected to something either because you do it directly, or you didn't do it directly, but you brought it about knowingly. You brought it about knowingly, so then maybe that should be comparable to doing it Biyadayim. And at least as a drabbanan, to be connected on that level. Now the question also of whether it extends the other two questions that we saw machlokas rishonim about, if you want to say that it should be limited to adam and not to behema, so then that also seems to connect to the question of are we going off the pasuk of maka behema yishalmena, which is about adam hamazik, or are we talking about lo yishmerenu bailev? And also the question of whether there is the Dalet Dvarim or not, because the Dalet Dvarim is again connected to Maka Behema and not connected to Lo Yishmerenu Bailev. So again, this is somewhat speculative, so it's hard to say conclusively whether one Rishon is fully identifying with one view or another, but these are just some of the broad outlines that could impact how this whole issue plays out. Any questions about any of that? I'll go over everything again before I go over it. Any questions about any of that? Okay, so just to sum up, and then we'll stop so that we can start fresh tomorrow on the Shomer Aveda Sugi, which is its own pretty significant discussion. So just to recap, what did we speak about? So we spoke about the Rambam's position that seems to be that Grama Bnezikin is Chayiv. And that's the impression we get from a couple of sources. And we discussed that there are various interpretations of the Rambam. Is the Rambam just paskin Grumma is chayiv? Or it doesn't sound like he feels Grumma is always chayiv, and it may essentially be a semantic difference that basically it's his way of saying garmi, which is another way of saying that there are certain Grummas that are chayiv and others aren't. And what other Rishonim would call garmi, the Rambam is saying that those are the Grummas that you're chayiv in. So we talked about some of the garmi issues. The fact that there are Shulchan Aruch paskins that we do doin din de garmi, and the Shach and others discuss the question of, is this a din d'oraisa or is it drabanan? If it's drabanan, it's easier to understand why we have certain distinctions. And we noted that if it's a drabanan, so then there are a couple more questions we could also ask. Is it a social tikkun that we just impose a knas, like it sounds like sometimes, so that we don't have people going around using a loophole and causing damage? Or is it an extension of the svara of an existing din d'oraisa? And if so, so then it's also worth asking, which din d'oraisa is it a connection to? Because as we saw, there are a couple of possibilities. So then we discussed that there were a couple of other issues to consider. The question of the Rambam's apparent exception that it has to be bekavana, and apparently that's all that's required. The Ramban in Dina de Garmi disagrees, and we ask the question about what's the story normally with Adam Hamazik directly. Does it matter if it's not Bekavana or not? So we find the rule is that Adam Hamazik is Chayev, Bein B'Shogig, Bein B'Mezik, Bein Ma'onis, Bein B'Ratzon. But some Rishon distinguish, Tosus distinguishes between Onis Gomer and not Onis Gomer, and the Ramban did not distinguish. The Magen Mishnah assumes the Rambam also doesn't distinguish, and that he holds that Adam Mazdik is Chayiv Yom Ba'onus Gomer, so it makes the contrast between the two particularly stark. And then we discuss the din of Mitzamsein, and that the Gemara talks about Mitzamsein being Chayiv both with Nezikin and with Ritzicha, and that the Rambam seems to hold that it's different than Grumma, that other Rishon holds basically Grumma and subject to those rules, but the Rambam seems to differentiate between them, and that could have nafkaminas for this exclusion of Kavana and the like. And then we talked about two other machlokasin that you find in the Rishonim. One, the question of, is this limited din of Garmi, is it limited to Behema? Is it limited to Adam Hamazik, or does it include Behema also? That was a machlokas Rishonim. And the question of whether the one who's mazik begarmi, is he chayiv only for hezek, or is he chayiv for all of the other dalet varim when that's relevant also. So we discussed that some of the relevant issues might be here. How do we understand the different aspects of Adam HaMazik? That the idea that an Adam is liable for his hezek seems to connect to two possibly separate ideas. One, the pasuk in Parshas Amor of Maka Behemei Shalmena, and two, the pasuk in Mishpatim of Elo Yishmerenu Bailov, which should apply to other Avos Nezikin also, but perhaps includes Adam in that context also. Adam Shmiras Gufo Olav, a person is liable to watch out his own body doesn't cause damage. So we discussed how to understand the idea of Adam Mazik Ba'ones. So why should that be? So there are two ways to look at it. It could be from the pasuk of Makkah Behema. It's like Zerah Sakasov that the Adam is chayiv for everything under all circumstances. Or maybe it's like the Dalet Avos Nezikin, in the same way that the other Avos Nezikin a person is liable for even if he's not trying to do anything. So too, in that category, he's chayiv for what his body does. But there, the other side of the equation limits it, because on the one hand, it's a svara to include even non-intentional hezek. But there's a limit, because with the other Avos Nezikin, if you do Shmira, so then that will address your liability, and you'll be putter if the Shmira was adequate. So too, it could be that with an Adam as well, that if it was an Onus Gomer, if it was an Onus Kain Gneva, and it pierced through his adequate Shmira, so then indeed he would be putter for that, and perhaps that's the view of Tosfos. So the question, how to relate to this whole Garmi issue, what does Garmi connect to? Does it connect to a model of its own? Is it a social tikkun because we don't want people going around causing damage? Or does it connect to one of these existing dinim? Does it connect perhaps to Makah Behemah Shalmana, where we saw in our first week that pasuk seems to be implying certain conditions, and if you tweak any one of those conditions, you may find a ptur. So maybe this relates to that. If it's not biyadayim, so then that's what we call grama in your pater. But if it's garmi, then it's closer to biyadayim than not biyadayim. And then we suggested that it's closer, not in the physical sense, but it's closer just in terms of the impact, that the space that's created by it being indirect is filled in by the fact that you're trying to make it happen. And maybe that's why there should be a chiyuv that should connect to that. And if you want to say that it's based on the pasuk of the Dalet Elvus Nazikin of Loish Menu Bailov, so then that may have some nafkaminas, including those last two, that in that context you don't have the Dalet Dvarim. And that may also affect the question of whether it is specifically about Adam HaMazik or about Behema as well. Okay, so we will stop there. And again, God willing, Nusugya, Nivad Mubez, talk about Shomer Aveda, and we'll try to keep up a fast pace so that we can cover all the topics we want to cover in the next 2 weeks.